Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Also news today about the dangers of driving while high on marijuana. According to a study from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety, it's very hard to accurately measure whether someone's driving is impaired because of marijuana. And a second study out today finds a big increase in fatal crashes involving drivers who had recently used pot. Jake Nelson is AAA Director of Traffic Safety Advocacy and Research. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, why, as your study suggests, is it so hard to measure whether someone is impaired by testing their blood for THC, which is the main chemical in marijuana?
Comes down to this. Alcohol and cannabis are very different drugs. They're processed by our bodies in different ways, and they impair us in different ways. And for cannabis, the amount of active THC in our blood is not necessarily reflective of the impairment that we're experiencing at that same time.
So is there a way to measure impairment?
There isn't, not for this drug. And I think part of the problem that we're seeing in states that have legalized cannabis for medical or recreational use is that we're trying, in an effort to do the right thing, to apply what we've learned from alcohol-impaired driving to address the issue with cannabis-impaired driving. And so we would like to be able to reliably predict when somebody's impaired based on how much of the drug they have in their body. But for cannabis, for a whole host of reasons, that's just not possible to do.
So you're saying that Colorado, Montana, and Washington, which do have a set level that they test drivers for if they suspect they're under the influence, they've set it for THC at 5 nanograms per milliliter of blood, that they're making a mistake by doing that because it doesn't tell them anything important.
Yeah, the intent is good. They're trying to manage the traffic safety concerns related to having legalized the drug. But I can tell you through our own research that we just are releasing today that there is no threshold, 5 or otherwise, that is meaningful in any way in terms of predicting impairment for somebody who's consumed the drug and then gotten behind the wheel of a car.
So is the fear, though, that somebody is more impaired than the test would let on, or that you would set some kind of a limit and there would be many people who are not impaired at all who would be arrested because the limit doesn't tell you about their impairment and they're not impaired?
The answer is both. And the reason is that it depends on whether you are a habitual user or a chronic user of cannabis, or if you're a user who uses it relatively infrequently. We know through our study that roughly 70% of people who are arrested for suspected impaired driving and then their blood is tested for cannabis have active THC levels below 5. So right off the bat, 70% of people slipping through the cracks. On the other hand, if I'm a first-time user and get behind the wheel of a car, I may be experiencing a tremendous amount of impairment, even though my blood level is below whatever the stated threshold is in the state where I'm driving. For other people who are chronic users, especially in a medicinal state, somebody who uses the drug all the time, maybe to manage pain, could have active THC levels in their body above a stated threshold, but not really be experiencing the impairment that somebody who's an infrequent user would.
So is it therefore a bad idea for states to adopt a zero tolerance level for any THC in your system?
Well, I mean, it's the whole presence versus impairment conundrum. So just because you have a drug in your body doesn't mean that you're experiencing impairment. And if what we're concerned about is impaired driving, then even a zero tolerance law in a state is not really getting at the impairment issue. What AAA is recommending as an alternative to these per se standards is to have a permissible inference law. And that's a legal term, but basically what it means is if you have evidence of impaired driving, this is weaving in and out of traffic, not being able to maintain a consistent speed, and then, you know, having failed a standard field sobriety test, and then the results of an assessment conducted by a drug recognition expert. This is a law enforcement officer with specialized training, that with evidence like that and a positive lab test for active THC at any concentration, that we can presume that that person was impaired when they were operating the motor vehicle. We think evidence of impairment is important. We can't rely on a number.
So behavioral is the way to go with this.
Exactly. We need to prove in court that people are impaired by the drug. If that's what our concern is impaired driving, and that's certainly AAA's concern, we need to be able to prove that in court.
Now, the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety came out with a second study today, finding that the number of fatal crashes involving drivers who had recently used marijuana doubled in Washington State in the year after recreational marijuana was legalized there. Did you find evidence in that study that those crashes were caused by marijuana use?
Well, that's a good question, and it's important to remember that any fatal crash is very difficult to prove what the single most significant contributing factor is. So a crash involving a drunk driver will also involve speed, typically, possibly drowsiness because of what alcohol does to you. And usually people who are impaired behind the wheel are less likely to wear their seatbelt. So these are all factors that contribute to a crash being fatal. And the same is true for cannabis. It's very hard through research to prove that cannabis is the reason for the crash. But what we do know, because of the spike in marijuana-involved drivers getting involved in fatal crashes, is that cannabis use and then getting behind the wheel fairly quickly is a growing contributing factor to fatal crashes. And that's something that we should all be concerned about.
So what should states do? Because there are right now at least 20 states currently considering legalizing marijuana either for medical use or recreational use this year.
Well, I think that if a state is considering legalizing this drug, that they should expect to see a growing number of fatal traffic crashes that involve drivers who had recently consumed cannabis. To manage it, we really need evidence of impaired driving, a positive tox lab result for active THC, so that we can presume impairment in those special cases. We're not letting people slip through the cracks, and we're not convicting people of impaired driving when they're not impaired.
That's Jake Nelson, AAA Director of Traffic Safety Advocacy and Research. And we'll link you to the studies at our website, hereandnow.org. Jake, thanks.
You're welcome.